Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Last we had discussed in regards to this kitab that what led the author Sufi Iqbal to write this kitab. We said that this was a taqreed, this was a bayan of the Shah Ahmad Shaheed rahmatullah alayh, and he said this was a very, very beneficial kitab. It had a lot of effect on a person. But he said that when he saw and others that this kitab has gone out of circulation, then they decide to once again write this kitab, bring it back into circulation, because whosoever read this kitab, then they were astonished that subhanallah, what is namaz, what is the condition of namaz, and the coolness of my eye lies in salah. This is a complete example of this. So was it explained, he says that there are three terms. One is called ilmul yaqeen, one is called aynul yaqeen, and the third is called haqqul yaqeen. Now these are such terms that if an ustad, he sits in the class and he tries to explain these three terms to the student, the ustad also gets lost and the student also gets lost. So this is very, very easy. He says bring it onto an example of food. When you bring it onto an example of food, food everyone likes and everyone enjoys food, so you'll understand the example also. So he says let's take the example of kebab. Not nice to talk about food when you're fasting. So anyway, one is ilmul kebab. So ilmul kebab is a person, he has knowledge, he knows what's a kebab. Everyone knows shami kebab, shish kebab, whatever. So everyone knows what's a kebab. So that is called ilmul kebab. The second is called aynul kebab. Aynul kebab is, you can see the kebab. It's in front of you, it's in a plate. So you can see the kebab. And the third is haqqul kebab. Haqqul kebab is when you took the kebab now and you put it in your mouth. Everyone understood it now, so simple it is. That's what the kebab tastes like. So exactly now, let's convert it now to salah. So one is ilmu salah, that a person, he's got the knowledge of salah, that what is salah, what are the laws of salah, what are the etiquettes of salah, how a person makes qiyam, how he goes into ruku, how he goes into sajda. So he has the knowledge of salah, that is one aspect of salah. The second aspect is what we call aynu salah. Aynu salah is you seeing those people performing a real salah, a proper salah. That those individuals that read a proper salah. Like we explained about that particular king, he wanted to get his daughter married. When he saw that youngster performing salah, he was so impressed, he was taken aback by the salah of that youngster, that he was prepared and he gave his daughter in marriage because of the salah that he performed. That is the salah. So as I explained, he says that we've seen the students of Azmar Shah Anwar Kashmiri rahmatullah alayh, they perform the true salah. That what type of a salah we are required to perform, this is the type of salah that they had performed. Or Mufti Bashir Sahib Sanjalvi rahmatullah alayh, that when you see him reading salah, then this was the way that salah is supposed to be performed. Maulana Muhammad Gardi Sahib of White River, his father, how he used to perform salah. So this is when you see somebody performing a proper salah, then you are impressed, you are taken aback. But what is salah? This is actually how salah is supposed to be performed. On one occasion, Hazrat Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madni rahmatullah alayhi, it was a Jummah morning, and Hazrat was making safar by train. So they came to the station, it was Fajr time, so they got off, and on the platform, they said that let us read our Fajr namaz. Now it is a sunnah that on a Friday morning, in the first rakat, you read Alif Lam Mim Sajda, and in the second rakat, Surah Dahar. So Hazrat Madni rahmatullah alayhi, he was the imam. So he started his Alif Lam Mim Sajda. So while he was still performing the Fajr Salah, the train was ready to now depart. So they blew the horn, sounded the horn. The man with the flag, he came, he waved the flag that now the train is departing. But Hazrat Badni rahmatullah alayhi continued. So there were those people that feared, that were behind him, that the train is going to leave, we're going to miss the train. So they broke the Salah and they got onto the train because they were going to miss the train. But Hazrat Madni rahmatullah alayhi, he continued and he completed his salah. So then after they asked him, Hazrat, that the train was about to leave, they sounded the horn, the flag, the man had waved the flag, you continued with the salah? He says, absolutely nothing. I didn't even hear this happening, I didn't even see anything happening. He was so engrossed in his salah. So that is what we call Ayn al-Salah. That when you see somebody performing salah in this way, Mawlana Khalil Ahmad Sahib Saharanpuri rahmatullah alayhi, when he went for Umrah, so I can't remember who it was, whether it was Qari Siddiq Sahib Bani rahmatullah alayhi, who was with him. So the one particular night, it was Isha time. And now we're talking of those days when they went to Makkah Sharif. Not like today, everything is well lit and the tiles also 100%. So it started raining. And so much of rain, you could say like there was a flood that were in the streets. Now obviously the gutter system, everything was not up to date in those days. So they thought that Hazrat will say, today we'll read namaz at home. So Mullah Khalil Ahmad Sa'aran Puri Rahmatullah, he said, no, let's go. And he took a lota, one, two items he took, because now he's going to enter the Haram Sharif. So whilst you're walking, if your feet get messed, then you must wash your feet also, and then enter the Haram Sharif. So he went. When they came onto the road, the current of that water was so strong, that it pushed a person away. So whoever was with Hazrat Mullah Khalil Ahmad Sa'aran Puri Rahmatullah, Hazrat said that now you hold my hand, and I'll hold your hand. They thought that now Hazrat will say, we can go back to the room. But he said, no, you hold my hand and I'll hold your hand. But we cannot miss our salah in the haram of Makkah al-Mukarramah. Let's go to the haram and perform our salah in the haram. Whereas Shariat has given concession certain time where there's excessive rain, a person has to walk, or there's a lot of mud now, and a person has to walk to the masjid. Then there is concession, a person is extremely ill, he cannot make it to the masjid, then he is absolved of just jama'at. Then he can perform his salah individually. But even under these circumstances, Mullah Khalil Ahmad Sa'aran Puri Rahmatullah Ali, he went to the haram and he performed his salah in the haram. So this is the second term, which we call Aynus Salah. And the third one is Haqqus Salah. Haqqus Salah is where a person, he gets that opportunity to perform a salah like that himself. Like Haqqul Kabab, you tasted the kabab now. So here also you tasted the sweetness of that salah. What is that salah? When a person says that the coolness of my eyes is in salah, he got the enjoyment of that. So that is what is referred to as Haqqus Salah. So this is what the mashayikh desire. That every person, he must perform this type of a salah, where he gets that enjoyment of that salah, where he is connected to Allah tabarakah wa ta'ala. And if a murid is genuine, he wants to read this type of a namaz, on the desire and the talab of the murid, he can reach that stage. If sometimes, even if the sheikh doesn't have to take him on that route and doesn't show it to him, but the murid is genuine, he will reach there. In this path, there is 99% perspiration and there's 1% inspiration. Meaning the sheikh, when you sit in his majlis, he will inspire you, he will talk to you. That is only 1%. Thereafter you left on your own, up to you what you do. 99% is perspiration, you will have to work hard. And then you will reach your goal, Allah tabarakah wa ta'ala will take a person to his destination wherever he wants to reach. Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith Mullah Muhammad Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, every year in the month of Ramadan, between Maghrib and Isha, Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayhi used to have his majlis. So in this time, between Maghrib and Isha, Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayhi's majlis would be a silent majlis. He don't talk. Here it's actually sohbat. You come and sit in the company of mashayikh. There are those mashayikh that said that if people can't benefit from our silent majlis, where we are quiet. Silent majlis means the sheikh is quiet. You just sit with him for 30 minutes, 40 minutes, just sitting. Nobody says one thing. So he sits also and the murids also sit. So some mashayikh said that if people can't benefit from our silent majlis, then from our speaking majlis, how are they going to benefit? So the benefit is from the sohbat. You remain with the sheikh and all the qualities of the sheikh then transfers into the murid. So Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah hardly used to speak. But one incident every year in Ramadan, Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah used to mention. He used to say that there were a group of dakus, thieves. So obviously one is the leader of the thieves and the rest are all his murids also, his followers. So they used to rob people. So they decided at one stage that let's go to the masjid and we'll also become buzruks now. So the daku, the leader of the dakus, the leader of the thieves, he said he'll be the sheikh. And all the rest, they'll be the murid now. So he's the peer and the murid. So they all went in the masjid and they sat down in the masjid now. So they're all sitting and they're making zikr. So one man, he was genuine. He doesn't know, these are thieves. What they know about the tasawwuf? What they know about Shaykh Muridi? So he was genuine. He wanted to reach Allah Ta'ala. So he came to the masjid. He saw, oh, there's a Shaykh here. There's all the murid here. He said, Hazrat, make me bet also. So however fake way, whatever, he made him bet. So when he made him bet, now he said, now give me wazifa. But now he's a daku, he's a chor. What he knows about wazifa? So he told him, your wazifa is you take a pick and you go there in the ground and start digging the ground. So he says, that's your wazifa. So this person that came, he came with talab. He was genuine. He wanted to reach Allah Ta'ala. So the sheikh said that I must take a pick and I must start digging. So he went and he started digging. When he started digging, Allah tabarakah wa ta'ala started elevating him. Allah Ta'ala, Muzakkiya, Hakiki is Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala is the one that makes Tazkiyah. Allah Ta'ala started elevating him. When he reached the high stage now, he said, if this is where Allah Ta'ala has brought me, this is where I came, through the barakat of my Shaykh, what must be the position of my Shaykh now? So he started making dua to Allah Ta'ala. Hey Allah, show me the position of my Shaykh. So now he can't see the position of his Shaykh. So he said, my Shaykh is so high, I can't even see what's his position. So then he came to Hazrat. He said, Hazrat, see, I reached so high. I made a dua to Allah Ta'ala to show me your position. But you are so high, I can't even see your position. So he knew that he is nowhere. He is a daku, he is a chor. So on that day, made tawbah, and perhaps they changed their lives also. So see, when the murid is genuine, when you want that type of a namaz, a person wants to reach there, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will open that way for him. So any person, he wants to reach Allah, you will reach Allah. Once Khaja Sahib, Khaja Aziz al-Hassan Sahib Madzub rahmatullahi alayhi, he asked Mullah Thanwi rahmatullahi alayhi. He said, Hazrat, any person, he's got this connection with Allah, nisbat, what we discussed over and over, nisbat, that connection with Allah. How does he know that he's now got connection with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala? Mullah Thanwi rahmatullahi alayhi said that nobody has to tell you, Khaja Sahib, like a boy when he becomes baligh, does his father have to tell him, mother has to tell him, you became baligh? No, he's different now. Before, he was wiping his nose with his sleeves. Now he's not worried about wiping his nose with his sleeve, now he's worried about his hairstyle. Every now and then he got a cloth, now he's wiping his shoes. He's dressing up, beard must be combed properly. Now, before he was playing with marbles, now he got other marbles to play with. Now he's complete change in his life. So exactly the same way, Mullah Thanwi rahmatullahi alayhi says, he said, guftar, that a person, the way he talks, all that has changed now. The way he talks, he no more talks like how he used to talk before. He says, guftar, raftar, the way he walks, now his walking has changed. He no more walks that proud walk that he used to have before. I'm somebody. No, now he's humble himself. Now his walking is also different. Kirdar, his way of life has changed completely. A person before, he was worried about eating all the time in the restaurant. I want to eat this outlet, this takeaway, that takeaway. I want to taste from here, I want to eat from there. When his life has changed, when he's got connection with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, now he's not worried about all the takeaway food and all the restaurant food. We don't even know how they're cooking it, who's cooking it, what the ingredients are. Now he will get enjoyment in the Zamzam of Makkah Sharif. He will get enjoyment in the Ajwa and the Khajur of Madinah Al-Munawwara. Now a person, when he eats simple food, dar roti he will eat. But the enjoyment he will get in his dar roti, people don't get in their biryani. Why? Because he's got connection with Allah Ta'ala. In the simple things of life, he will get great enjoyment with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. See, so we're saying that this is that namaz. So these are the three terms. The person, finally he must reach that position where he himself gets that enjoyment in salam. Further, Hazrat writes, اور اس کے مطالعہ سے ہر نمازی کو کچھ فائدہ ضرور ہوتا ہے. That by studying this kitab, every namazi, every person that performs salah, he'll definitely get some benefit. You study this kitab of the Shah Ahmad Shaheed rahmatullahi alayhi, you'll benefit. لیکن یہ بھی ظاہر ہے کہ محض مطالعہ سے ہر کوئی خود ایسی نماز ادا کرنے پر قادر نہیں ہو سکتا. But he says, this also you must know. Just by studying the kitab, every person will not be able to perform this perfect type of a namaz. Just you open a kitab, you study the kitab, you won't be able to do it. You open a manual of how to repair a motor vehicle, you won't become a mechanic, you won't be able to repair that vehicle. So exactly the same way, if you just say, I'm going to pick up a kitab, today this is a sickness, but you know, I don't want to go in that direction, but today anything, we don't just go on to Google, and Google it, and check it, Mufti Google. So now we want to check everything there. So now a person, he became self-made alim now, Google alim, because everything is on Google. No, it doesn't work like that. Knowledge of deen is not from kitabs. Na kitabo se, na wazo se, na zar se, paida deen hota hai, buzruko ki nazar se paida. That deen, it comes through the gaze of Ahlullah. It is not through waz, through bayan, and through kitab that we will get deen. Stay in the company, sahaba stayed in the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Tabi'een stayed in the company of sahaba. Tabi tabi'in stayed in the company of tabi'in. And this is how deen was transmitted from generation to generation. For us also in this field of tasawwuf, we are connected to our sheikh. Our sheikh is connected to his sheikh. His sheikh is connected to his. And this chain goes right up to Nabi alayhi salam. When it comes to Quran, the Quran that you learn in the maktab, here also you learn from your ustad, he from his ustad, going up to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Person that's an alim, he's got sanad in hadith. His sanad of hadith, his chain of hadith goes right up to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In our deen, there is this chain, there is this link going right up to Nabi alayhi wa sallam. So just by studying the kitab, you're not going to be able to read a perfect namaz. Jab tak ke kisi khas tarteeb se iske mashq na kare. As long as he says over here, a person does not practice upon it in a special manner, in a particular manner, in a special way, you'll have to now practice this namaz. Then you will get the ability of performing a proper salah, which he will explain later on. Kyunki saadaton ke husool mein aadatullah is tarah jari hai ke kasb aur mehnat karni padti hai. He says, because to attain fortune, anybody wants to become fortunate, he wants to attain top position in class, He's becoming an alim. He wants top position. He's in university. He wants to attain a top position. He wants to become fortunate. So he says the habit of Allah Ta'ala, the sunnah and the way of Allah Ta'ala is this, that a person has to make effort. Just by saying, I want to come out first. But all the time a person is playing around. He doesn't even come to class on time. How is he going to reach there? So the way of Allah Ta'ala is, you make little bit of qurbani. Why? Because then you'll appreciate it also. If everything is free, we don't appreciate it. So he's saying that we have to make a little bit of effort. Phir is par ata wahabi tor par hoti hai. Now when you made a little bit of effort to make this type of a namaz, now Allah Ta'ala will grant you in abundance. Allah Ta'ala will give you the tawfiq. Whatever you ask for, you want the perfect namaz, Allah will give it to you. You made a little bit of effort in your studies, then you turn to Allah Ta'ala. Now Allah Ta'ala will give you that position. Whatever you want, you make the effort, make dua and leave it to Allah Ta'ala, now Allah Ta'ala will give. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah Ta'ala says, وَإِذْ ابْتَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتٍ فَأَتَمَّهُنَّ. Allah Ta'ala first tested Ibrahim alayhi salam. When Allah Ta'ala tested him, فَأَتَمَّهُنَّ. Every test that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam went through, he passed them with flying colors. Now, when Ibrahim alayhi salam did his share, he went through the difficulty, he passed all those tests. What did Allah Ta'ala say? إِنِّي جَاعِلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا. I will make you imam for mankind. Not for your locality, not for your people, but for people till the day of Qiyamah. Today Jews say we are the followers of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Christians say we are the followers of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Quran says, مَا كَانَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ يَهُودِيَّ وَلَا نَصْرَانِيَّ وَلَكِنْ كَانَ حَنِيفًا مُسْلِمًا. Ibrahim alayhi salam was not a Jew. Ibrahim alayhi salam was not a Christian. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was a straight Muslim. He is a follower of the deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So nevertheless, here also he says that you make the effort, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will give you from his side. Chunache Allah jalla shanuhu ki rahmat, agarche kisi illat wa sabab ke muhtaj nahi. Even though you make the effort and Allah will give you, but Allah ta'ala's mercy and Allah ta'ala's rahmat is not in need of any reason and any cause. That because you made the effort, Allah ta'ala gave you. No, Allah is not in need of this. If Allah Ta'ala wants, without that mehnat also Allah Ta'ala can give. Without that effort also Allah Ta'ala can give. يَخْتَصُ بِرَحْمَتِهِ مَنْ يَشَعْ. Allah Ta'ala chooses whoever He wishes out of His rahmat, out of His mercy. Allah Ta'ala can choose whomsoever He wishes. Allah Ta'ala can give it to him. Mawlana Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned an waqia. He says there was one particular king. So this king passed away. So when he passed away, they said, who are we going to put next in place? Who are we going to make the king next? So they said that the first man that comes in the morning to the door of the palace, we will make him the king. Whoever it is, he comes to the door of the palace, we will make him the king. So the next morning, the first man that came to the door of the palace was a faqir. A faqir was a beggar. And seven generations before him, they were all beggars. But they said that we have decided, the first man that comes to the door, we're going to make him the king. So they made him the king. Now they brought him to the palace. They made him sit now in the palace, on the throne, whatever it might be. So he was sitting. Now when it was 11, 12 o'clock, time for lunch, he called two of the workers. He says, right, now pick me up. Imagine, he is a faqir from the street. He says, pick me up and take me for lunch. So they picked him up. He's the king now, they have to obey. So they took him for lunch. So then they told him, Badshah Salamat, that you were a faqir. Seven generations before you, all beggars. How did you get this? That how the king instructs that he must be taken to eat, and how he is taken care of, and how he is served. Where you got this from? He said, that Allah that gave me this position, that Allah taught me the tariqah also, that how it must be done. So when Allah Ta'ala wants to give, Allah Ta'ala is not in need of your mehnat also, but this is the system of Allah. That normally you make an effort, and then Allah Ta'ala gives. But if Allah Ta'ala wants to give somebody, without making the effort, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala can give a person. As Shah Wasiullah Rahmatullah Alayhi used to explain, he says that if a person just brings Allah Ta'ala into the heart, just bring Allah Ta'ala into the heart, all our problems will be solved. And this way he proves from Quran. He says that in the incident of Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, it'll take a lot of time, I don't want to go into that also, that in the incident of Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, when that hudhud, the bird of Sulaiman alayhi salam, that bird went missing. And then Sulaiman alayhi salam had roll call. So Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam said that when this bird comes back, he didn't find the bird was absent. So he said, when he comes back, لَوْعَذِّبَنَّهُ عَذَابًا شَدِيدًا. I will punish this bird. Severely I'll punish this bird. So unless this bird comes with a valid excuse. So when the bird Hudhud came back, so they used to speak to Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah Ta'ala had given him the ability to speak. So he used to speak to the bird. So he asked Hudhud, where you went? So the Hudud said, I went to a place where the people are worshipping the sun. The ruler of the place is a woman by the name of Bilqis. So after this entire incident, it is mentioned that Bilqis now, she called up her people. Because now Sulaiman al-Islam wrote to her. He wrote a letter to her. He said, either you accept Islam, and if you don't accept Islam, then we will come, we will wage war against you. So she called up her ministers. So she said, Aftuni fi amri, this is the matter that I have. You give me your fatwa now. You give me your mashwara. What should we do? So they said that, why are you worried? Nahnu ulu quwa wa ulu ba'thin shadeed. We are very strong people. Let Sulaiman al-Islam come. We will take Sulaiman al-Salatu Islam on. So she was a very intelligent woman. Finally she married Sulaiman al-Islam also. It's mentioned, what did she say? She said, Innal muluka idha dakhalu qarya. That these kings, I'm just cutting short, because this is the point that I want to get to. That innal muluka idha dakhalu qarya. That these kings, when they enter into some village, into some locality, afsaduha, then they destroy everything. The previous ministers, the previous cabinet, everything, they wipe it out. Waja'alu a'izzata ahliha adilla. And the honorable and respectable people, they humiliate them, they disgrace them. This is why, because it mustn't happen that now you became the king. So the previous ministers and previous cabinet, they got hatred for you. So they rebel, they turn against you. So everyone has to be moved out. And now they will choose a new cabinet, a new ministers altogether. So he says that from here we learn that when the king came into that town, he wiped everything out. When Allah Ta'ala will come into the heart, a person got anger in his heart. A person got greed in his heart. A person got hatred in his heart. A person can't control his gazes. Just bring Allah Ta'ala in our heart and everything will change. Everything will change. There were so many buzruks like this. When Allah Ta'ala just chose them, Allah's rahmat came on them. Allah Ta'ala just changed their lives without any effort. Fuzail ibn Ayaz rahmatullahi, he was a chore, he was a bandit. But one habit he had, whenever he stole, he wrote the name. Who he stole from, how much he stole. Everyone's name was recorded. When the day came, Allah Ta'ala gave him tawfiq to make tawbah, he went back to every person. How much he stole from them, he had their names, he went and paid them their money. So here, Allah's rahmat came, he heard one ayat of Quran, he changed his life. Abdullah bin Mubarak rahmatullahi, contemporary of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi. He was a great muhaddith, Abdullah bin Mubarak rahmatullahi. How he changed his life? He was sitting, drinking. He used to drink whole day because he was very wealthy. He used to have a festival once a year. So on this particular occasion, he called everyone for this dawat in the fruit bearing season, summer season. He's sitting, eating the fruit, drinking, and he fell off to sleep. He was playing that guitar, whatever you call it, and the string broke. So he tried to fix it first time, tried to fix it second time. Couldn't get it right. Third time he tried to fix it. The third time when he tried to play it, Quran started coming out from there. Alam ya'ni lil-ladhina amanu an takhsha'a qulubuhum li dhikrillah. Has the time not come that your heart humbles itself for the zikr of Allah? There, Abdullah bin Mubarak rahmatullahi broke everything. Changed his life and he became the great muhaddith of the time. Bishar Hafi rahmatullahi. This is Allah's rahmat. It doesn't need no reasoning. When Allah's rahmat comes, Allah Ta'ala chooses whomsoever he wishes. He was drunk. He went to the pub. On the way, picked up, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Just saw a little piece of paper, kissed it, put ether on it, put it onto his head, put it in his pocket, went to the pub, drunk, lying on the flat on the floor. Allah Ta'ala sends a buzruk of the time, go pick him up. Pick him up, give him my basharat. He is called Hafi. Hafi means no shoes. Never used to wear shoes. He used to say, Allah Ta'ala has made the earth a carpet for me. A carpet for me. How can I walk on the earth with shoes? So Allah Ta'ala made it such that when he used to walk barefoot, the birds used to come, all the stones that were in the way, the birds would move all the stones away. Ishar Hafi rahmatullah. That is why the carpet that we have, this is a ni'mat we're going to get in Jannat. In our home, a person doesn't walk on the carpet with shoes. Person must take off his shoes. When you walk on the carpet, you walk without shoes. On the bare floor, where there's tiles, etc., there is no problem. But on the carpet, a person cannot walk with shoes. Many people in the house, they have carpets. Now they walk on that with shoes. No, not on the carpet. So he had so much of respect for the earth also. Malik ibn Dinar rahmatullahi, drunkard, came home, 15th night of Shaban, Allah's rahmat came, finished, changed his whole life. Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi, he heard the footsteps on his roof. He said, what are you looking for on the roof? Man says, no, I'm looking for my camel. He says, camel on the roof? You stupid, go outside in the jungle, camels are in the jungle, not on the roof. He says, you foolish man, you want Allah, you want to reach Allah, in the palace, you want to get Allah. Leave your palace, you'll get Allah Ta'ala. when Allah's rahmat comes down, Allah Ta'ala can choose anybody. That is why we can't look down on anyone else. You don't know at which stage that person changes his life. At which stage Allah pulls him. At which stage Allah makes him his beloved. That is in the hands of Allah Ta'ala. So that's what Hazrat says. That this is the normal. This is the norm that a person has to make effort. But Allah Ta'ala is not bound by any rules and any regulations. Allah Ta'ala wants to choose anyone, Allah Ta'ala can choose. لَكِنْ إِنَّ رَحْمَةَ اللَّهِ قَرِيبٌ مِّنَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ بِي فَرْمَانِ إِلَٰهِهِ. But he says that the verse of the Quran where Allah says, Allah's rahmat is close to those that do good. When you will do good, when you will make the effort, now the rahmat of Allah Ta'ala is very close to you. Allah's rahmat will come upon you. So he says, remember, this is also the verse of Allah Ta'ala. This is also the words of Allah Ta'ala. لِهَذَا, he says, for this reason, he explained that we will now bring this bayan of Hazrat Shah Ahmad Shaheed Rahmatullah Alayh. But he says, in order for us to benefit from this bayan of Hazrat Shah Ahmad Shaheed Rahmatullah Alayh, he says, we have brought in certain points. That keep these points in mind, and if you keep these points in mind, then understanding the bayan will become very, very easy for you. Now, these points that he has brought over here, he has referred to them as Noor. Noor number 8, Noor Awwal, Awwal, Noor Dom, Noor Som. So it's actually point 1, point 2, point 3, point 4, and point 5. They're just 5 points, 5 basic points. In order for you to benefit from the bayan of Hazrat Shah Ahmad Shaheed Rahmatullahi, keep these 5 points in mind. So we'll start with the first point today, Noor-e-Awwal. Is mashq ka fayda sirf unhi salikin ko hoga ke jo zikr wa shughal ke tariq ko bazaabta ikhtiyar kar chuke hai. He says that the benefit of this practicing, of this practice that we're going to do of Salah, he says, those talikin, talik means that person that is treading the path to Allah, that wants Allah Ta'ala. Those people treading the path to Allah Ta'ala, they will benefit from this mashq, from this practice, who have formally done a course of zikrullah and spiritual exercises. You want to read a perfect Salah, you have to go through the process of zikrullah. Be pabun on the zikr of Allah Ta'ala, do proper zikr, then only will you attain that concentration which is required for Salah. Or, inko kisi daraja mein malaka yaaddaash hasil ho chuka. And a person, when he made the zikr of Allah Ta'ala, this quality of concentration, he has already attained to some degree. You got concentration in zikrullah to a certain degree, now you will get concentration in Salah very, very easily. Mawlana Masihullah Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say, he says, when muridin, they come by me. So he says, it's like a parcel. In India you get what they call dobi parcels. Dobi parcels. All the clothes, they put in a big sheet. Now they take it to the washman, to go and wash those clothes. In there, you get all clothes. You get different colors, white, everything put together. And in today's time, if a person wants to put it in the machine, many a time they have to separate it. The whites must be separate, the colors must be separate. Mustn't happen that all the colors now rub onto the white color. So they separate everything. So first you have to separate the clothes. Then you get the clothes washed. Then after you wash the clothes, now you're going to iron those. Now you're going to iron those clothes. Now the clothes is ready for a person to wear. So he says, exactly when the muridin, they come by me. He says that because they've just come to me, their thoughts are running everywhere. Person, he's got so many thoughts. So he says, first effort that we have to make, get their mind, get their thoughts in a particular track. In a particular way, their thoughts must be going. Now we can start making effort on that person. So exactly the same way over here, that when a person starts doing zikrullah, then he will get that concentration to a certain extent. In the previous times, when people used to live in the farms, like I was explained the other day also, that people used to live in the farm, so they used to come to the town, to the main town, once a week. Sometimes they would come on the day of Jumu'ah. So when they would come to town on Friday, why they would come? They will get the Jumu'ah Salah, because where they are living in the countryside, there's no masjid there. Jumu'ah is not farad upon them. So they come to the town, they can read the Jumu'ah Salah. Then when they're in town, whatever goods they need to buy, they will buy all those goods also. And accounts they have to pay, municipal account they have to pay. They have to pay the municipalities in town, it's not in the farm. So all the municipal accounts they have to pay, whatever work they have to do, they'll do it on that Friday. Now for that person that came to the masjid, and he came on that Friday, and he came for Jumu'ah Salah, do you think that he can have concentration in that Salah? No, he's working. I still have to go and pick up goods from this store. I have to pick up goods from that store. I have to pick up from here. That account I have to pay. I mustn't miss out here. I must pay that account. 3 o'clock they close. The department closes. I have to finish all this and then I have to go back home. So that person, where the mind is not at ease, the mind is not concentrating, he won't have concentration in Salah. So zikrullah will now develop that concentration to a certain extent in the salah of a person. Ab wo is malaka se apne namazon ko baruh bana sakte hain. Now when a person has this quality of concentration, then he will make his salah a salah of life. Aur namaz ke zariye se wo apni batini madarij mein bahut tarakki kar sakte hain. So you got zikrullah. Through zikrullah, what will come into your salah? Life will come into your salah. And when life has come into your salah, now a person spiritually, he will progress and he will reach Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. He will go through all the stages of spiritual progress very, very quickly and reach Allah ta'ala. Like for example, take a logical example. Today a person, he is a very wealthy person. One relative I have, so he's from Australia. So when a month ago approximately, I met him in South Africa. Very wealthy. He's got a lot of properties all over South Africa. So because he's got properties all over South Africa, he says that for me to drive from here to there, very difficult. Very, very difficult. So he bought a jet, his own private jet. Now a person, he got that jet, he can cover, for example, 600 kilometers, 500 kilometers, 45 minutes, 1 hour, he's covered that distance. Whereas with a car, it will take you 6 hours. With the jet, 45 minutes. But he has to know how to operate that jet. He must be able to fly that jet. For this person, he doesn't know how to fly a jet. So he had to hire a pilot. He paid the pilot 8,000 rand a day. He had to pay the pilot to fly that thing. So now a person, if he doesn't know how to fly that jet, he won't be able to reach his destination. But if he knows how to fly that jet, now you can fly. 1,000 kilometers, 2,000 kilometers, nothing. 1-2 hours, you have already reached your destination. Exactly the same we understand that when a person, he's got that rule in his salah, now he knows how to perform salah of concentration. Where to where from? In a moment from the earth, he will reach the arsh of Allah Ta'ala. He will go in no time from the bottom right to the top, to the top. All the paths of the tasawwuf, he will pass all this in no time. His destination, he will reach in a short period of time. Why? Because he knows how to read a salah of concentration.
جو طریق نبوت سے جو طریقہ نبوت سے ترقی کرنے کے مختلف ذرائع میں سے ایک اہم ذریعہ ہے.
He says in the path of nubuwat, from the various ways by which a person can progress and reach Allah Ta'ala, one of the most effective ways to reach Allah Ta'ala is namaz. There are many ways to reach Allah. Namaz is not the only way to reach Allah Ta'ala. Ulama have said there are so many ways to reach Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Some say equivalent to the creation of Allah. So many creations of Allah. The animals are there, and how many types of animals. The human beings are there. The insects are there, and how many types of insects. The fish that are in the ocean, how many types of fish. So how many creations of Allah Ta'ala. The trees, the mountain. There are so many ways to reach Allah Ta'ala as the number of creation. Others have said there's so many ways to reach Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala equal to the breath that a person takes. How many times a person is breathing every day. According to that, so many times there are ways to reach Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. There are various ways. For example, there are those people that are doing social welfare work. When they go, for example, Syria, sometimes they go to Palestine, sometimes they go to Iraq, they put their life in jeopardy. And how, what sacrifice they go through. Sometimes they are bombing in those areas. And they go there ducking and diving, living in the tent. For who? For the creation of Allah ta'ala. If a person doesn't get Allah there, where else can he get Allah ta'ala? So that is also one effective way of a person reaching Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, getting Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Some people, they get their Allah, they take care of animals. How many people Allah Ta'ala forgave? You gave water to an animal, your maghfirat has been made. Some animal was feeling cold, you brought it into your home, you took care of that animal. On that the maghfirat of a person has been made. Some people, they take care of orphans, they take care of widows. On that Allah Ta'ala makes the maghfirat of a person. On that they reach Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So there's so many ways to reach Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, on one occasion he said that people ask from all the ulama that are in India, who is the most pious, who's most closest to Allah Ta'ala? Hazrat Mufti Sahib said, how can we answer that question? That is in the knowledge of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala knows who's closest to him. You get those people, when it comes to Eidgah, the day of Eid has come, we go to the Eidgah, mashallah, everything is sorted out. We sit there on the carpet or whatever has been rolled out for us, the mats that are rolled out. We read namaz and we gone. But there are people every year, they are there so early in the morning. in the coal, whatever it is, they're rolling it out. And when we finish, they also roll it up, they put it away. So they have taken that work. How many people they take care of the Qabristan, the burial committee, where there is a janazah, 2 o'clock in the morning, we're sleeping. For us, if somebody has to wake us up, we're upset. Phone has to ring, we get upset. 2 o'clock in the morning, they phone, janazah, same time they're up, gone, giving the janazah, taking care of the family of the marhumin, all that they take care of. Sometimes somebody passes away from a place maybe 2-3 hours away, and the person passed away in an accident in Azad, they'll give the ghusl here. Here, they will take him. And whatever time they finish, go and drop the body off in that. Although, the masla of Sharia is, you shouldn't travel so far. Few miles is fine. But you should bury the person where he passed away. Person shouldn't take the body to another place. But many a time, the family, they demand, no, take the body there. So now they have to take the body. 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, they take the body. They'll get the Allah Ta'ala in there. There's various ways. There are so many ways to reach Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. There are those that are giving khajur in the masjid. Every year, they come first. We want to give our khajur. We want to give our date. Everyone was making iftar with ours. There are those that are serving it. Those that will buy the zamzam. They say that this, our zamzam, must give it to those people that are fasting. Those that will serve the zamzam. So many ways a person reaches Allah Ta'ala. We don't even look at this. Sometimes Allah forgive us. We don't even say jazakallah to those people. Those that are serving us, make it a point. Go to them. Jazakumullah. You do so much for us. Those that are digging out the food, jazakallah. You are serving the food to us. All those that assist us in any way, benefit us, show appreciativeness to these people. Appreciate before these people. That ustad that taught you Alif Ba, if it wasn't for him, you wouldn't have come to Quran. And if it wasn't because you didn't come to Quran, today a person has become Alim, Mufti, Sheikhul Hadith. If it wasn't for those that taught you Quran, today you wouldn't have come here. So when you have come so high, don't forget those people also. Don't forget your parents, what they have done for you. Today we forget all those. We became so big now, so all the people here, they're small now. We forget that we are seniors. No, it's not like that. We need to say Jazakallah. We need to thank these people. We need to serve these people as well. So there's various ways of reaching Allah Ta'ala. But he says that in the path of Nubuwat, this is a very, very effective way, very quick way of reaching Allah Ta'ala, that you read a salah of concentration. Warna bare ruh. Namaz to na tariqe wilayat mein muasir hai aur na tariqe nubuwat mein mu'tabar hai. Otherwise, if you're reading a namaz, that's got no life in it. He says, in the path of reaching Allah Ta'ala, becoming a friend of Allah, no effect. It will have no effect in reaching Allah Ta'ala also. And in the tariq of nubuwat, in the way of Nabi alayhi salam, what is the sunnah salah? Here also it holds no value whatsoever, because you are reading a salah that does not have any ruh in it. And what is it that generally holds us back? Why can't we progress? Why we can't get this concentration in salah? Why we can't get our life in our salah? One of the major problem is this: if this life comes into salah, sahaba had life in them. So they fought on the battle of Badr, 313 sahaba, they overpowered 1,000. And these 313 didn't even have fighting equipment. They didn't even have weapons, but they overpowered 1,000. There was life in them. Hazrat Ji rahmatullah used to say that today, if there's 313 people on the earth that have got life in them, it will bring a revolution. They will change the world. The whole world will change. If you only get 313 people like this, what holds us back from bringing this life is our guna. Is our guna. When guna comes in, finished, now there's a barrier. That's why Hazrat Kim Sahib rahmatullah, in one poem, he says, fisk dur karta hai. Fis dur karta hai manzil se agarche sheikh ho tera lasani. That he says, if you got such a sheikh, there's no sheikh like that on the surface of the earth. He's the greatest wali of Allah Ta'ala. And you came to that sheikh, and you're sitting in the company of that sheikh, but quietly you're breaking the commands of Allah Ta'ala. He says, fisk dur karta hai manzil se. You want to reach Allah, you won't get. It will take you further and further away from Allah Ta'ala. Why? Because you are hiding, you are committing those gunas. Even though you got such a great sheikh. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, Ya Abu Huraira, ittaqil maharim, takun a'bad al-nas. Stay away from haram. Stay away from it. You will become the greatest ibadat guzar, the one that made the most ibadat of Allah. You're doing no ibadat. Staying away from haram, a person is doing, he's doing nothing. If a person, he's got alcohol before him. Not to drink the alcohol, is it any work? It's no work. But on not doing work, the sawab is the greatest. Imagine a person says, you don't do any work. Come and sit in my shop and I'll give you the highest pay. Allah is saying, don't do this, I'll give you the highest pay. You will get Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. There was one person I was able to explain many times, he was diabetic. So they put him in hospital. So when they put him in hospital, all the theories that they tried, he defied all the theories. Trying all the medication, everything, nothing working. So they said, what's wrong? Why is it that this person, his sugar levels are not coming down?
Later in the, at some stage when the nurse went to clean the bed or check the bed or something, under the pillow, he got chocolate wrappers there. So what he's doing, they're giving him medication. When nobody's watching under the blanket now, he's eating chocolate. Exactly the same way. Person is sitting in the sohbat of Ahlullah, sitting in the company of pious people. But Allah forgive all of us. Allah give us all hidayat. But a person, he's just obeying the command of Allah Ta'ala. So here, a person supposed to be progressing, but he is not progressing. One alim beautifully explained, he said, that those good deeds that you did with ikhlas, with sincerity, nobody knew about it. Nobody knew about those good deeds, only you and your Allah. At the time of maut, when it's time to recite kalima, those good deeds will help you to recite kalima. And those deeds, that a person, the wrong that he did, he ducked from everyone. Nobody knew about it. He did it in so much of secrecy, nobody came to know about it also. At the time, if a person didn't make tawbah, if a person makes tawbah, inshallah, everything is clean. At the time of maut, when he is leaving the world, those gunas, they will obstruct a person from reading kalima. Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi has written that a person that indulges in all these gunas, whether he's secretly eating, the world doesn't know. Allah is watching. Allah is watching every movement. Alam ya'lam bi anna Allah yara. Allah is watching every movement. He says that those people that they involve themselves in these gunas, he says at the time of maut, they became despondent of the mercy of Allah. One person was passing away. They told him, recite kalima. He said, how is he going to help me? There isn't a single guna on the surface of the earth that I haven't done. And in this way, he passed away. Another person, they told him, recite kalima, read kalima. He said that, how is it going to help me? I haven't read a single namaz. I haven't read one namaz. How is kalima going to help me now? Another person, they told him, read kalima. He said, somebody is holding my tongue. Somebody is holding my tongue. I can't read kalima. So the guna that a person involved in, he thinks secretly I'm doing it. But this becomes a big obstacle, big problem. Many a time we found out also that in other places also, here also sometimes it happens, person is in i'tikaf also, he's in a masjid also. And whilst he's in i'tikaf in the masjid, person is playing with the cell phone. And as I said, they leave the cell phone is too far. He says a person, like yesterday, he said about the thoughts, you open, this is the internet of the heart. Internet of the heart. And a person is thinking, this lady or that woman, somebody I spent time with, now his heart is going in that direction. So what has happened? All these gunas. This holds a person back. It doesn't get let a person go closer to Allah. So what we should simply do, when a person, or as I explained this, he says that like a cup, you got a cup. So he says this cup, one drop of water is filling in. What will happen? Time will come, cup is full. When the cup is full, overflow. Water is going to fall out. Exactly the same we understand it. When we commit guna and there's no tawbah, the cup is filling. The cup is filling. Time will come when the cup is full. When the cup is full and now there's overflow, now you have exceeded the bounds of Allah Ta'ala. Now the problem starts in your life. When the problem starts, now a person thinks, why am I going wrong? Why business is not working? Why this problem in the house? Why the children are not listening to me? You didn't realize the cup has now filled up. Now it is late. But still Allah Ta'ala's mercy is still there. Turn to Allah Ta'ala at that day. That's why when a person does any wrong at that time, immediately cry to Allah. And Allah says, when we make tawbah, try and sit in a place where there's tiles. Anything you can make tayammum on. So let those tears fall on that ground. Let it fall on the ground. So when that will fall on the ground, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will wipe it out. So now that cup will get emptied again. So in this way a person, but he must be sincere. Not that he's making tawbah, but he knows I'm going back there. That time he must be sincere that I'm giving it up. And a person that can't cry, فَإِلَّمْ تَبْكُوا فَتَبَاكَوْا. Make that face like I'm crying. That paza face also Allah ta'ala accepts. And for the person that can't make that paza face also, and in the heart feels the pain. If the heart is shaking, the heart is trembling, how I broke Allah's command. For him, that is his tawbah, that the heart is crying. And there's one dua that we learn. Allahumma waqiyatan ka waqiyatil waleed. Allahumma waqiyatan ka waqiyatil waleed. Ask the ulama, they'll write it for you. O Allah, you protect me. You take care of me. Like how you take care of a little baby. How the mother look after the baby. How the father look after the baby. So Allah, you protect me like that. So here we must make niyat. Read this dua and make niyat. O Allah, that you protect me from gunas, like how a baby is taken care of, you protect me. Allah's protection is there, we got everything. Allah give us tawfiq.